Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
This is Reg Douglas, Artistic Director of Mosaic Theater and Director of Roundhouse Production of Radio Doll.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned you're over at Mosaic. I think that's the last time we talked. Was when you were doing
Probably.
the Till trilogy interview like last fall. But that's really cool that they're loaning you out to a different theater. No, but
it's a great sign of DC theater community, that I'm able to work at Roundhouse while still being at Mosaic. So it's something that's very special about the DC and DMV theater scene.
It is. A rising tide raises all boats, as far as I'm concerned, with all the different theaters. So, but yes, we should tell everyone we are definitely talking Roundhouse Theater's Radio Golf, the August Wilson play. I guess it was the last one in his cycle. It's going to be June 7th through July 2nd. All right. So, yeah, before we get to the actual premise of the show, I said it's the last one of his cycle. I guess he write it right before he died, right?
He did. So this is the last of the century cycle, 10 plays, looking at the African-American experience, one play for each decade. So we are in the 90s. It's been really fun to go back in time to 1997, if you can believe it, and to follow these characters as they, go for big dreams of being mayor and more. It's a really exciting play that lets us look back, but also reflect on this moment we're in right now, politically and socially. And it does it with the signature Wilson humor, the signature love of lush language and poetic language and rhythms. And a real musicality, and that's always really nuanced, rich characters that actors can eat up and enjoy. So it's been a good time so far.
I love that you laughed when you said going back to 1997, because
I'm
with you. I hear that date, and it seems recent in my mind. And then when you do the math, you're like, holy crap.
Totally. I mean, there's references to the Vietnam War, and you're like, oh, yeah, because you were 20 when that happened, So it's a really interesting way to shift your brain, because it does feel so recent, but
absolutely,
it is about 30 years ago.
It's crazy to think. Give us the basic premise of the show, who the main character is, and the whole real estate thing going down here.
Yeah, so we're in Pittsburgh, like many of the Wilson plays. We're back in the Hill District of Pittsburgh. It's 1997, and Harmon Wilkes, who comes from a middle class family that started in the Hill District, they owned a realty company. So he's really been destined for greatness his whole life. He is running for mayor, and along with his best friend, Roosevelt Hicks, and his wife, Mame Wilkes, they are opening Bedford Hills Redevelopment. They want to redevelop the neighborhood, get rid of the Hill District, basically, and start fresh. Let's bring in a Whole Foods. Let's bring in a Starbucks. Let's rebuild this neighborhood. And the question that, of course, comes next is, what about the people who are still there? And so the play follows that give and take, that push and pull between redevelopment, gentrification, and change, but also history and legacy and the people who call this community their home, even if it may look blighted to others. And so at the core is a moral question, an ethical question, and one that I think is very timely for us here in DC and Maryland, which is redevelopment, gentrification. How do we move forward with progress when history and legacy also must be maintained?
Exactly. That's the age old question, right? How do we develop and expand or refurbish or whatever, but not lose the history and not drive out the very people who were living there that created the history to begin with? So yeah, that's a fascinating theme here that's going to be really timely. What's in the title? I know there's a thing where they're like
trying to
acquire a radio station, but yeah, if our listeners hear the plot summary about, real estate, then they're like, wait, why is it called Radio Golf? Explain it for them really quick.
Sure. So the two best friends, Harmon and Rosa, about love golf. Tiger Woods, he has his poster on the wall. He is the king for these guys. And, Roosevelt does want to acquire a radio station. Back in the 90s, radio was really, really everything, right?
Right.
The ultimate way to communicate with your audience. And so I think Wilson is giving a nod to the power of media, the power of communication, and who gets to tell what stories. Why can't these two Black men tell the story of golf? For their community. So I think it's a complicated title. Everyone's got an opinion about what it means. But I can say the plot most directly calls us to two golf aficionados, two Tiger Woods fanboys who are interested in how they can communicate or not with their community and with one another.
All right, dish on the cast. Who's our Harmon Wilkes? Who's Mame? Who are the main characters?
It's a bunch of, DC all-stars, to say the least. Jabin Early, Roe Bodie, Renee Elizabeth Wilson, Kevin Mambo, and really DC legend Craig Wallace. You may see him as Scrooge every year at Ford Theater. Here he plays Old Joe, the kind of elder of the community, and it is a masterful performance, and it's an honor to work with Craig Wallace on this show.
I love Craig. We've had him on so many times, and he's just a delight to talk to every time. Every time he pops up in a show, it's must see, folks. All right, cool. Well, then visually, what do we see then too? Like for instance, I don't know, when you do fences, you're in the backyard with that, the baseball tied to the tree and all that stuff, or, whatever your example is. But in this, what is sort of our set here?
Yeah, the play takes place in the Bedford Hills Redevelopment Office. So it's a storefront, small mom and pop kind of shop that they, rent out or buy to make their office, but also wants to be campaign headquarters potentially. So this family, the Wilkes family, Mame and Harmon, along with Roosevelt, I guess, they come in, they say, we're going to take this, what used to be a cleaners or a, hardware store, and we're going to refurbish it and make it the home of our redevelopment office. And so it's a beautifully designed office by Megan Rahm. You get the Pittsburgh brick, which I was really excited to see, the tile floor, the desk, the moving boxes. It's an office that is in progress. And over the course of the play, we see them start to settle in to what could be home for their new dreams.
I love it. I love it. All right, cool. And then you mentioned a little at the top, but take me into sort of, the August Wilson's, actual writing style in this. Is the dialogue, snappy? Talk about the prose a little bit.
Yeah, I think this play is hilarious. I think it's really a comedy. It's not, I like to say. And so it's full of laughter. It's full of joy. They are a community. There is a lot of history for these characters, and the language shows that. So it's rich, it's poetic, but it's also very conversational. And that's the magical thing Wilson does better than anybody, I think, is able to give us poetic prose said naturally. And there's always a rhythm to Wilson's. There's a bip and a bop and a blues and a jazz kind of energy. And he definitely has that alive in this play. And Wilson's also known for a bit of the sacred, the spiritual entering the world. And in this play, it does show up. It may not be as prominent as it may be in others, but it's definitely there. There's soul in this play and in the language of writing.
I can't wait for folks to see it. I'm going to have to do it really fast, but I'm going to list off the Pittsburgh cycle here, the century cycle. And I know this isn't the order they were written, but in terms of like the chronology of the decades covered, it was Gem of the Ocean in the 1900s. Joe Turner's Come and Gone was the 1910s. The 1920s was Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. 1930s was The Piano Lesson. The 40s was Seven Guitars. Then we had Fences for the 50s. Two Trains Running was the 60s. Jitney was the 70s. King Headley II was the 80s. And it all built to Radio Golf, which captures the 90s. So I guess, why do you think it was all building to this? I mean, yeah, I know he jumped out of order, but like, do you think it was like the... he wanted to wait for a little more time to pass before he tackled the 90s? Or is there a reason you think he built to this as his big final one before he took his last breath and like the same year this was published and died?
Yeah, what a profound question. Yeah, I don't know why he waited till the end of the 90s. I do think you're onto something, though, that he wanted to see the decade take hold. One of the things that's so interesting just in staging the play is you put a Black presidential, a Black mayoral candidate and his wife, who's a businesswoman, on stage together. And right away, you're thinking of the Obamas. And so there's something about Wilson looking ahead to what could be an American political power couple. But back when he was writing it, we didn't know of the Obamas, right? There's something about the aspiration of what the 90s could have brought, the progress that could have been found for Black Americans in the 90s. That perhaps was or wasn't found then or later or now. So I think he's always ahead of the game, but also reflecting history back to us in really interesting ways. So maybe he had to wait a little longer to let the 90s kind of happen before he was able to write it, maybe.
Definitely. And you hit on something profound too. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. you know, he didn't live to see Obama get elected. I mean, he missed it. He died 3 years before 2008. But there's something in the writing that, you know, he was probably a little prescient. You know, he was predicting it ahead of the time. But yeah.
Yeah, there's a line in the play. It's 1997. This is America. I can be anything I want to be. And that kind of aspiration is so 1990s to me. I'm not sure how many people still feel that way. I do. I do believe in the hope of America. I think that is what Wilson is calling for in this play. But it's very powerful and poignant to hear that, you know, that line every night when we reflect back on where we are now 30 years later.
All right. Well, before we run, is there anything else we want to say? How about pretend I'm not even here and speak directly to our listeners? You know, like, hey, you know, hey, DC, you know, you're listening to this in the car. Well, come on out to Roundhouse and see August Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, we're producing a play that is funny. It's a play about politics, about progress. It's a play about community, and I think we want to share it with our community. And that includes you. It includes everyone from all backgrounds and races. This is an American play. It's an American story. And it's really right, I think, for the DC DMV community, because this is about our country and how we all have a role and what change could look like. And the question of history and legacy and how progress can collide with it is a very DC question. So come ask it with us. Come get enlightened with us and enjoy some laughter and some enlightenment with your fellow neighbor. That's what we do theater for, is to bring people together to reflect the truth of our community in new and interesting ways. And I really believe that August Wilson's Radio Golf is doing that with joy, with humor, and with some really top-notch actors. So come check us out.
Absolutely. That's the perfect place to leave it. It is Roundhouse Theater. It's August Wilson's Radio Golf. It runs June 7th through July 2nd. So get your tickets now. Hey, Reginald Douglas, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.